Praise the Lord. Well, I want to thank Mr. Gary for preaching last week. That was really good. Thank you, thank you. It was very good. Thank you. I want to thank everybody for the cards and the gifts for my birthday. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, thank you. And also, too, you know, we do appreciate everybody here when you do tithe and give, you know. Amen. We are, you know, obviously believing for big things, too, you know, especially all this COVID junk and everybody kind of get back to normal and stuff. But, you know, I was just talking with some friends, you know, and just about what a miracle it is. It really is God's favor that we even got able to even meet somewhere, you know, as opposed to maybe, you know, even a, you know, maybe even squeezing some homes and things like that too, but, or, you know, continue to do live stream. But it is a blessing, amen, to be able to meet and, you know, to be able to, yeah, come together. So, you know, as far as the old facility was shut down and God opened up a door, amen. So he is always faithful, amen. Always faithful, amen. So we do appreciate the people who are tithes, your tithers and givers. And if you're not, you're missing out. I'm telling you, amen. So I'm moving forward. In fact, let's look at Acts chapter 2 while you're turning there. Tonight I'm going to talk about staying strong. Amen. We're going to stay strong. And I'm going to share some stories with you tonight. I don't know if I've even shared some of these before, but anyway, we're going to jump into some things tonight. But look at Acts chapter 2, verse 16. I'll give you a minute to turn there. But, you know, everything that's going on in the world, it just seems like things are either, you know, it can seem discouraging. It can seem, you know, this past year, you know, we've talked a lot about, or, you know, people have talked a lot about, you know, for example, economy and, you know, people lost their jobs. I've worked with people who've lost their jobs and talked with several people. But what about the mental and emotional anguish that people have gone through? You know, people that have been separated, maybe, you know, they're lonely. You know, people want to talk about, well, we've got to do this and we've got to do this. And I understand that there may be some genuine concern about people and their safety. But on the other hand, there is a toll that has been put on people on around the world. But we've got Jesus, and we're going to talk about staying strong moving forward. Amen. And so Acts chapter 2, verse 16 through 21, and this is a New Living Translation, and it says, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. Now, just earlier in praise and worship was talking about this, but Peter is quoting Joel here. And in verse 17, it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Now, the King James says flesh, but all people, right? Your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will what? Dream dreams. I believe we're entering into this last phase. Amen. I believe that there are things that are happening behind the scenes, but in verse 18 says, in those days I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, my men and women alike, and they will prophesy. So we can get out of that religious mindset that only men can do this, right? Some denominations think that, and I don't want to go off on that tonight, but only men can do things and only men can minister. God is going to use men and women. I believe he's going to use children also. Do you hear that, kids? I believe God is going to use kids moving forward. And you have a very valuable part in this. In the verse 19, it says, and I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark. The moon will turn blood red. We've already seen that, right? Before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, there's an enduring, but we're promised that God is going to pour out his spirit on all flesh on these end times, right? And I believe that, you know, when you've got 120 believers there at the beginning, these people, we always want to look at the day, or I'm sorry, the day of Pentecost, and we want to say, well, you know, that was great and wonderful. They only had 120 believers. Now, not all of there, you know, there's about a billion or more quote Christians around the world. But again, doesn't mean they're all necessarily believe in the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and things like that too. But when you're going from 120 to, you know, almost a billion people that are believers, I believe God's going to use a lot of people, and He said He would pour His Spirit upon all flesh. We've got a lot more people that we can multiply the gospel than they had in those early days, right? And when we add the Spirit of God, that special anointing that God promised here in this portion, I cannot wait to see what God does. You know, when I read things like Maria Woodworth Eddard, and I read some of these people that were, you know, frozen solid, and several men tried to pick her up and move her, and they couldn't move her, and she was frozen there for several hours, and she took trips to heaven. I mean, I believe we're going to see those things. Amen. And so no propaganda, no people, Antichrist people. Not, it's just going to happen. I mean, things are going to happen, and it's going to be a wonder, because you wonder what happened. 1 Timothy chapter 4. So we're going to see the end time harvest. We're going to see God is going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. I know that, was it Dutch Sheets had a we were listening to this morning about, sent to everybody, about a dream that somebody had about God now signed over the deed or signed over. There were, you know, some generals in the faith that obviously they've passed on and gone. Did anybody listen to that? I'm just, a few of you have listened to that. It was very good. Talking about Kenneth, him and Dutch Sheets and some other, his brother and some other people were in this dream. They were in this conference room, and then Jesus and then Kenneth, brother Kenneth Hagin, I think Charles Spurgeon, Gordon Lindsay, and some generals in the faith were there, and they... And basically, the gist was they were, and Jesus was there, they were now signing over things, and this is a new era that we're going into, that there are things that have been held back in the Spirit that will be released now. Yes. And so, I really believe that, and I think that people now are hungry for God. They're hungry for a change in their life. They're hungry for something that's real. And especially, I believe that, obviously, the things we're going to see coming soon, we're going to see people, they're going to grasp for truth. They're going to want something real. And the things that they've seen in the past have not been true. They've been lied to. They're going to want something. And they're going to want something real. And they're going to want people who are real. And God, I believe, is going to pour out, and He's going to use us. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Praise God. Everybody just say hallelujah. Amen. We need to wake up here. We're talking about the things of God. We're talking about the Spirit. We're talking about the Word. It should do something to us. Amen. Now, chapter 4, verse 1, this is a New Living Translation. It says, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, okay, we're in the last times, right? Some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. So guys, in these end times, we're going to see two movements, aren't we? We're going to see the pouring outpouring of God, and we're going to see the deception that people are going to turn away from the faith, aren't they? Right? So we're going to see an awakening, and we're going to see a falling away. And we've got to just make a decision, which one are we going to be a part of? I remember Doc Barkley had a vision of this back in, you know, several years ago. Brother Hagin approached him and said, what did you see in the spirit realm? Because Doc Barkley was there at one of Brother Hagin's meetings, and he said that, you know, he saw a great darkness, but then a great light. And again, they were both together operating separately. And we see the word tells us about this, right? But we will see God do amazing things. And when we get to here in just a few minutes, you know, we're going to see people fall away from God at the same time we're going to see people come to God. Right? Years ago, there was a man that was just real faithful. You know, he was a head usher. And at that time I worked at night. I worked second shift at Vermeer. And so I wasn't able to go to Wednesday night services. You know, it was just, I went to Sunday morning. And anyway, he worked nights also at Pellicorp. Well, he had a Bible study for us on Thursday morning, so I went to that. You know, some of the guys that would, you know, and sometimes it's just me and him, but sometimes there'd be more of us that, because there was a group of us that worked at night. And so, and if you're Oskaloosa, you know, Pella area, those are two big employers, Vermeer Manufacturing and Pella Window. And so, you know, we would have there, and we'd have Bible studies, and just great, and he was just a real leader, just a real solid person, and he, you know, poured into me, and I was coming back to the things of God, and Adrian and I hadn't been married for very long. And anyway, long story short, he fell into some very gross sin. I mean, it's just some very, I don't even want to talk about it, but the point is, he walked away from God. And he fell into sin. Now, I had a decision to make. Is he going to be the person that I put my faith in, or is Jesus? See, and I had a decision to make because I thought, here's this guy. I just had this, you know, top shelf opinion in him, and all of a sudden he fell into this gross sin, and I thought, I mean, wow, if he is doing this, I mean, I'm not at his level, I didn't feel like. But we've got to make a decision and stay strong, right? Because we're going to see people fall, but we're going to see God do some miraculous things, right? So we're not putting our faith in people, we're putting our faith in the Lord. And so I remember one time, Adrian and I, another story, I was at, we just moved back from Tulsa, and I was a manager at one of the Hy-Vees, and I was working late one night, and of course, you know, we have the stock people that stock stuff, they do that at night, you know, overnight. Well, the night stock manager and I were talking, and I don't know how it came up, but he asked me, he says, where are you around from here? And I said, well, I'm from, you know, southeast Iowa, and then my wife and I just moved back from Tulsa, we were there. And he said, well, where were we down in Tulsa for? And I said, well, we went to a Bible college. He says, what Bible college you go to? And I said, well, Rhema. And he goes, really? Because my mom was in the charter group with that. She graduated Rhema the very first year back in, and he said, was it about 74? I said, yeah. And he said, yeah, she went on to get her master's degree, and now she teaches New Ageism and everything too. And I'm like, I mean, the stories that, you know, Gary and Deb and Adrian and I, and I mean, all the stories we hear about those golden days of the very first year that Rhema opened. And so it kind of took me back, because number one, I thought, I'm going to say Rhema, this guy's going to have no idea what I'm talking about, because we're in Iowa, right? I mean, hello, you know. I mean, the only people that most people know around here is going to be any kind of, they quote, you know, come from any spirit-filled is probably Joel Osteen, his dad John Osteen. You know, I mean, that's about it. Maybe Kenneth Copeland. Oh, Joyce Meyer, a lot of them like her. But they have no idea about any of this. So my expectation was, all right, I'm going to say this, he's not going to know what I'm talking about. But he knew. But my heart just kind of thought, But again, who's our faith going to be in? We've got to be strong. We're going to see things that seem discouraging, but the Bible says, forget not all my benefits, right? We look back at all of the things God did for us. Why did God command Moses and also Abraham to build altars along the way? They were reminders of what God did, right? So there would be an event, and then it says they Noah, what happened right when he got off of the boat? He built an altar, had a burnt sacrifice there for God, right? What was that altar for? It was to remind them of the things that God did. And so moving forward, to stay strong, we have got to be able to stand strong. You know, there was this thing called the grace movement, right? The extreme grace movement about 10 years ago that started kind of sweeping. And I believe in grace, right? I believe in all of these. You know, I believe that there's mercy and grace, and God gives us grace. Well, a lot of this teaching that came out was that pretty much, you know, when you're born again, everything's okay. It's all going to be all right, you know, because of grace, and all the sins that we're going to commit are already under the blood, so it's okay. And here I am, many people that I went to Bible college with are now, we're drinking. You know, they're even in bars with people. They're doing things, and they're like, you know, I'm so free because of the grace movement. I just thought, I mean, the Apostle Paul says, you know, God forbid that I purposely go sin. It's something that your life changes. When you become born again, your nature changes, right? And then that the gifts of the Spirit that are in Galatians, the third chapter, those things are now manifest in your heart. So the want to for those things should be gone. You should want to strive to move forward with God. So we see people throughout the years, and there was one other example, then we'll move on. But I remember this guy that when Adrian and I lived in Oskaloosa there, and there was this guy that I would listen to all the time. He's a minister, had great music, praise and worship music. Amazing. And he would always say things, he'd preach, and he goes, you know, my grandma always say, are you holding on? You know, and you keep holding on, meaning live right for God. Keep living right for God. That was obviously, you know, but he said, you know, keep holding on. And then about 5 years later, he started getting into universalism, right? Where everybody's born again, everything's okay. You can be Muslim, you can be Jew, you can be whatever you want to be. We're all going to go to heaven because Jesus paid the blood. You know, they're taken out of context, but he shed his blood for the entire world. John 3:16 and John the third chapter, it says Jesus died for the world. Well, he did, but the world didn't accept him, though. See, that's the problem, is Christ died for the world. He provided it, but not everybody jumps on board. Not everybody receives Jesus. And my heart just fell because here he is moving forward with God, trying to move forward with this false doctrine, right? So in these end times, we're going to see God do things, but we're also going to see people fall away. And let's look at Matthew chapter 24. So he got into all this universalism, and again, those people kind of, my coming back to Jesus in my early 20s, I see a lot of the people that have fallen away, right? But we just saw there in Timothy that what? He who endures until the end will be saved. Also right here, we're going to see this. Matthew chapter 24, this is very good. This is King James. I like the way the King James words it. I'm sorry, guys. Okay, forgive me. Right? You have to love me. Right, right. The Bible tells you to. Right, I'm kidding. I love you. It goes both ways, right? But and Jesus answered, verse 4, Matthew 24, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. What did he say? That no man deceive you. We're going to talk about deception in a minute. So, verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. We've seen that, haven't we? We've seen a lot of that. Do you know there's 5,000 people in California that believe they're Jesus Christ? And you thought they had problems before I told you that, right? Hello. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For here we go, and nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. And these are the beginning of sorrows. Here we go. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations. For what? For my name's sake. Then shall many be, here we want to go, be offended. And shall what? Betray one another. And shall what? Hate one another. Offense is an absolute killer. It will destroy your faith. It will destroy your relationship with God, because you'll start blaming God. You'll start blaming people. People who are offended, right? They start blaming other people. Verse 11, many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. Many times they're deceived. Using the word deceive a lot here. Because iniquity shall abound and the love of many shall wax cold. We've seen that, right? A lot of that lately. Verse 13, here we go. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. The same shall be saved. This is not a sprint. This is a marathon. We're going to make it to the end. God is in the process of dumping some things on us. I believe here we're going to see the end time revival. Right? And so, don't be deceived, number one. He also talks about offense, being offended. You know, I've had people too before ask me, it's like, well, why do you think somebody did this? Or why do you think somebody did that? Or why do you think this person, this prophet, or this minister, they say that? Why do they say that? Well, first of all, I don't know. Right? But where am I gonna focus my answers on? The Word of God. The Word of God. You know? So we're not, I mean, just like Hillbilly Hank was talking about, you know, being born again. It's only one way. Well, let's talk about offense also, you know. And here's the thing where I see people, especially in churches, where people will get off and they'll be influenced by other people. You know, I've been in, you know, we've all, you know, many have been in churches over the years, but I've been in churches over the years where you'll have some gossip bucket mouth, right? That will turn people against a pastor, or they'll turn people, right, away. So offense is contagious. It is contagious, right? I mean, if you're at home and somebody's in a bad mood, it can rub off on everybody else, right? You get, like, you know, I had a boss one time years ago. He would sit there and just, I mean, he would say, how's your wife doing, blah, 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 and then walk away and 5 minutes later cuss me out about something. I mean, I think he's like bipolar or something. But but the point is, it's like, you know, especially when you're leadership or you know, if you've been around people like leaders that are just insecure and moody people, they bring the whole team down, you know. I mean, they can just bring everything to a screeching halt, and nobody wants, you can't get anything done because it's a hostile environment. I've been in that before, where it's just no matter what you do, it's never good enough, and it's just everything's awful terrible, or they're trying to put you down to build themselves up. Well, there's people like that in the church, right? I mean, I've seen that over the years where you've got some person that's trying to stir up trouble. Why? Because there's a fence there, and they're trying to bring you down. So not only do we see things like I just talked about, you know, other people around us falling off, but we also see people trying to influence others. Or, you know, I like watching the news or the fake news or the politicians. They're like, well, you know, we're just going to go with the science. Really? Because science changes every day. So what are you going to do? Like, am I going to, like, schizophrenic here? I'm like, oh, one day it's this. One day wear a mask, one day it's not. Do this, do this, do this. It's like, you know, can you make up your mind, right? Science changes literally every day. And then, or they always try to do the, you know, well, there's, you know, certain scientists that are, you know, all these scientists. What are we in grade school here? I mean, what is it? You know, well, we all think this is cool. I don't really care, right? You have no effect on me whatsoever. You know, I don't need a consensus to understand that gravity is real, right? I don't need 300 scientists telling me, trying to convince me that gravity is real, okay? Either I jump off the roof and I land on the ground or I don't, right? I'm already convinced that gravity is real. And the same with Christianity. I don't need people telling me whether or not it's right or wrong. I know because the Word of God is real. And it outlasts anything I hear on TV or anything, right? The everybody's doing it scenario. And that's what the devil likes to do, especially through propaganda and TV and fake news and everything else too, you know. Read these articles lately. It's like, you know, well, everybody, you know, everybody thinks this. And I'm like, no, just you. Right? Okay? Because 70 million, 80 million other people think this way, but you don't speak for everybody else. Right? Mm-hmm. And you got to call the bluff when the bluff. All right? I was in this one time. I was talking to this person. Well, there's just no love there. Really? Well, everybody at that church, you know, we used to be in churches years ago. Well, you know, people like, well, you know, everybody says, who's everybody? Right? I mean, you know, what? Are you on the playground again? Are we back in kindergarten? You know? Well, nobody likes you. What do you mean, who? Just you. Right? Hey, I'm telling you what, Christians fall for this garbage. I'm telling you. Right? Because what happens is you get some friend or somebody in the church that says something, and all of a sudden this big, gets out of control, right? And it spirals out of control. Why? Because it starts with offense, and then people aren't digging into the word themselves. They get offended. They get upset. So let's talk about deception here. We'll close here in just a minute. Deception is just the action or practice of deceiving someone by, here we go, concealing or misrepresenting the truth. That sounds like the politicians in the fake media, right? It's purposely concealing or misrepresenting the truth. That's deception. That's deception in a nutshell. And you should just see people like I visited a doctor a while back, and he was telling me, you need to do this, and you need to get the shot, and you need to do this. I told him, I'm not doing it, right? Well, studies say, I said, really? Because I've already talked to two other doctors face-to-face, and they told me opposite of what you're telling me, right? And so we were talking, he's like, so are you scared of it? I'm not doing it. Can you get this through your head? I don't care if you're a doctor. I don't care if you're an attorney. I don't care if you're the president. If I have a conviction of something, I'm going to do it. Right? I don't care if you're a friend of mine. It doesn't matter. We've got to go with our conviction on everything. Now, I'm not telling you what to do with your body and what to do, anything else. That's your decision. But I'm saying this. When we are convicted of something, do not be bullied by people, no matter what title they give you or other garbage that they try to feed you. Right? I've made some medical professionals not very happy with me when I walk out the door, right? Because I'm going to do what I want with my body just because you're my doctor. We are not living in Nazi Germany 1933, okay? So I'm going to do what I'm going to do. You keep practicing. That's why they call it practicing, because you haven't got it right yet. Hello? Right? We're practicing. So in life, no matter what it is, continue to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? I am not going to bow down to the crowd. I'm not going to bow down to these other people, right? I'm not going to take the deception, no matter what it is, whether it's scriptural, whether it's, you know, the news, whatever it is, facts. This is the only truth that will last everything. Because I don't have to watch the news. I know what's going to happen in this world eventually, right? Because of prayer, you get a witness about things. But we see that back there, we start with the book of Genesis. We start with the Tower of Babel. They're trying to build one world government, and God put a stop to it, right? And they've been trying to do the same thing throughout history. That's what they're trying to do. The devil wants to get his Antichrist in here. Now, this isn't anything to politics. It's just the fact that that's what the Bible says, and that's what the devil's trying to do. But guess what? You and I, we're wrecking balls, okay? And that's why I don't care whether people often really are comfortable with what I say sometimes, because we're supposed to be wrecking balls for Jesus, right? We're supposed to speak truth and not just go with the flow and be pressured by junk all the time, you know? Oh, I got flagged on Facebook. Oh, gosh, you know? We had a thing, and it's like, you know, we're going to watch you. What are you going to watch me for? Are you going to show up to my house, right, and break in my house and arrest me? I mean, what are you going to do to me? I mean, it's like, hello? I mean, I'm going to say what I want to say. I'm going to do what I want to do. And if we all have attitudes like this, we're not trying to purposely, you know, hurt people, or I'm not trying to be rude, but the point is the truth is the truth. And the word offended people. And you see, the Pharisees, it says that they were offended in Matthew. They were offended with Jesus. Why? Because they were angry with him because of the word and because of the truth. And that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing the spirit of Antichrist that come up against anything Christ-like. They're going to attack it. Anything truth, anything pure, anything holy, anything righteousness. We don't want darkness exposed. And so people who are offended, people who are in sin, people, they don't want the light, because the light will expose demonic forces, and that brings conviction, and they don't like it, and they don't want, several people don't want to change. But we're going to continue to preach the gospel. Amen. And we're going to talk about the spirit-filled life and praying in tongues. And they don't like any of that stuff. And I don't care. Right? So we just need to cast off that spirit of heaviness, put on the garment of praise. When we go places, I'm going to be who I want to be. Right? and most people, you know, I was in a meeting earlier this week, and most people, they're watching the news and they're getting their cues from the news, and oh my gosh, we got to do this, we got to do this. Who said we have to do anything? Right? I mean, are you my mother? I mean, really? I'm a grown adult here, and I don't have to take cues from everybody else. And we're not in kindergarten now, and you know, their peer pressure or anything, right? Anyway, but I'll just say this. Some of the things I've done lately, I've confronted people about a bunch of junk, and they have very high titles, and yeah. So I don't want to listen to your garbage accusing me of stuff. I'm going to live righteous. Amen. I want to be as close to Jesus as possible, right? And we as Christians, we need to tell the truth and love to people. They don't want to hear it, then what's the Bible say? Shake the dust off your feet and move on. It'll be worse for them than Sodom and Gomorrah. Right? Because we're here to spread the good news. I'm not here to get anybody saved. The Holy Ghost saves people, right? I'm just a messenger, and you're a messenger too. If they get born again, that's wonderful. If they don't, they'll have to answer to Jesus someday, right? That takes the pressure off of us. We just deliver the message. That's it. But in these end times, we got to get real thick-skinned about things moving forward, right? And we're not going to be nasty with people, not going to be mean, but it's like we're going to stand our ground. We're not going to get off track. We're not going to be offended. You know, we're not going to be deceived, right? Because I believe things will come out and they'll be exposed. But you know what? We're going to continue to focus on Jesus. We're going to continue to focus on righteousness. You know, if people want to live in the dirt and live in sin, you know, we just pray for them. But I still believe that we're going to see Acts chapter 2 manifest here. We are going to see the glory of God. And all the naysayers and all the people that have been, you know, oh, that stuff and those spirit-filled people and those tongue talkers and that and this and that. You know, when healings are manifest, people show up, right? You know, when you have a word for somebody somewhere and the Holy Spirit leads you to do something and you're right on track, they'll listen. If it's God, they'll listen. And so all this heaviness and all the stuff that we've been dealing the last year and a half, year or so, God has turned things around, I'm telling you right now.
Right.
Amen? And I don't care about the political realm or anything else. I'm saying me and God, you and God are the majority everywhere you go. He lives in us. We are. He's manifest all the time in us. And so I have such a passion for Him. Amen? About what He's doing in the land, what He's doing through us, me. We haven't seen it yet. I'm just telling you right now. You know, I've seen some great things God has done, but I'm like, there's a lot more God's going to do. Amen. He's going to do some pretty amazing things. Yeah. And I am just absolutely excited about, you know, I want to see people, you know, I mean, like in the end time, people were getting healed by Peter's shadow. I mean, you know, we're on the cusp now of, you know, people are getting, ministers are getting threatened and fined because they're going out and doing tent crusades, like in California, right? Okay, I'm sorry, you know, and I was watching the show few years back, and this politician was, you know, like to quote Romans, how we're all supposed to submit to authority. You know, it's really good when he's the authority and he's, you know, preaching everybody else. You know, that's really handy and everything to, you know, just shut up and do what I tell you to because I'm a politician. And but there's going to come a day where we're going to have to choose. We're going to choose the kingdom of God, or we're going to choose these, you know, to count down to the politicians. And it's like, I'm choosing God. Amen. I've got a friend of mine in Boston, and you know, there are just people there. They're required to wear masks and everything too, and all this other stuff. And it's like, you know, and you know, they're threatening to fine people and do these things. You know, they have been in the past. It's like, you know what? We're going to go with God, amen. And yeah, it's better for me to obey God than man. Amen. Now we're not breaking laws and doing all kinds of crazy stuff, but I just trust God. Amen. Moving forward,
amen.
That, you know, the devil tried to put a hamper through, tried to hurt people financially, tried to hurt people spiritually, tried to hurt things, and I believe that God is going to bring things back bigger and better than what it was before COVID started.
Yeah.
Amen. The God has got a plan. The things that the devil meant for harm, God will turn things around. And I believe God has got a plan for every person here. That He wants to make you more prosperous, more blessed. And I believe this church is going to be prospered and more blessed in the days to come. Amen. Because, you know, there's a lot of churches that are no more. They've closed their doors because of COVID. You know? Or they're not even meeting still. Thank God we're here.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we come before you tonight.
Thank you, Jesus.
God, my heart tonight is to put boldness in us like never before, Lord. Never before. That we're going to stay strong in these end times. We are not going to bow down to deception. We're not going to give way to offense. We're not going to give way to those things. We're going to be strong in the name of Jesus. And we're going to declare the gospel. We're going to stand up for what we believe in. And we're going to see God's glory manifest like never before. And we're going to see an awakening in this nation like never before. Hallelujah. I refuse to give glory to any disgusting, perverted evil out in Washington, D.C., but I choose to give the glory and the honor to the great God Jehovah, who is going to do some miraculous things, and no man is going to sit back and say, well, this person did it. No, it's God, because it's the impossible, and God is the God of impossible. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. He's going to do Lord, you're going to do things that we've never even dreamed of, Lord God, in the days and the months and the years to come, God. We give you glory and we praise you, not just for what's happening now, but God, we praise you for what's going to happen in the future and what you're going, how you're going to manifest in our families, in our lives, in this church, in our work, in our businesses, in everything that we do, God. We give you the glory and the honor, and we praise you, not the enemy, for the things that are coming, Lord God. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Can we just lift our hands a moment? I just feel just to praise him more. We worship you tonight, Lord. Father, your goodness, we love you, Jesus. You're so good. You're so good, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we glorify you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. We glorify you, Lord. Shh, glory, glory, glory.